Good afternoon. Welcome to the last Senate Committee on Environment and Natural Resources for this year. June 1st, 2011, and we have two bills in front of us today for work session only. House Bill 3280A, and with that, I will open up a work session on House Bill 3280A, and we have Richard Whitman from the Governor's Office, who is going to come up and very quickly walk us through the Dash A14 amendments. Beth, do you want to say something briefly about fiscal?
Only that there was a minimal fiscal impact, so no statement was issued, and there is a revenue statement in your packet.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Whitman.
Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee, for the record, Richard Whitman, the governor's natural resource advisor. I'm here today because I've been working with several legislators and interested parties to try to facilitate a new version of the amendments to engrossed House Bill 3280. So what I'm going to do is describe in very brief overview terms the Dash 14 amendments. Your committee staff, Beth Petrino, have done a great job of summarizing that in this legal-sized spreadsheet that's before you that has the original provisions of Senate Bill 1055, then the A10 amendments, and then the A14 amendments. So I'm going to speak only to the A14 amendments unless there are questions about other things. The A14 amendments, the first thing to understand is they attempt to simplify the categories of permitted use wineries. Under the A10s, we had four categories. Those are collapsed to two categories under the A14s. The reason for that was that there were some concerns about how you move between categories as you grow as a winery, and that there might be some situations where people would fall into a black hole, if you will. So that's dealt with in the A14s by creating two categories. Basically, a small category of winery that is has to have at least 20 acres of land and 10 acres in grapes. And then once you get bigger than that, a larger category of winery that's allowed as a permitted use. Both are allowed as a permitted use outright. And there are the distinctions between the categories are generally that once you get into that larger category, there are some additional uses that you're allowed to carry out. That's the basic concept. We also have carried forward the concept in the A10s of a conditional use winery. If you don't meet the requirements to be either a small winery or a larger winery, you can still get permitted as a conditional use. The uses that you're allowed to carry out as a conditional use winery are the same uses that you can carry out if you're a small winery. Okay, going to the second page of your staff's summary in terms of the allowed uses for the two categories. Obviously, production of wine is allowed in both, and wholesale and retail sale of wine produced in conjunction with a winery is allowed at both. That includes tasting rooms. In the small wineries, you can do some other things, but they're by appointment only. So wine tours, education events, those sorts of things. The other big distinction between the categories in terms of food service, the only type of food that you can have at the small winery is what's required in order to comply with our state liquor laws in terms of having food available in conjunction with the consumption of alcohol. No kitchen facilities. You can have whatever facilities are necessary for the type of food that's required by OLCC, but that's it. No limited service restaurant, no full-scale restaurant. Okay, for the larger wineries, you get all those uses plus activities and events that are essentially the primary purpose of which is to promote the sale of wine or the wine industry in Oregon. And also sale of ancillary merchandise associated with wine. You're then allowed two additional, what I'll call bigger uses, is One is the what I'm going to call commercial events and activities, and specifically it's three types that you would have to get a permit from a county for. Those are concerts, facility rentals, and celebratory events, thank you. So for those three types of events, and only those three types of events, would you need to get a permit from the county. Everything else you can do is part of the permitted use. In addition, for the very large wineries, you are able to permit a restaurant in conjunction with your winery, but only if you meet some fairly tough standards. And the toughest is probably that you have to have at least 250,000 gallons of production, so that's only the very, very large wineries. You also have to have larger acreage, and then you have to meet certain tests in terms of essentially not upsetting the land use pattern in the area, not leading to instability in what types of uses are going on in terms of farm uses in the surrounding area. So those are the differences between the categories. For these permitted uses for the larger wineries, the celebratory events, the concerts, and the restaurants, the conditions that you have to meet in order to get those include that you have to show that you're not conflicting with ag practices on surrounding properties, and again, that you're not altering the stability of the land use pattern in the area. One important point is for the restaurants, I'm sorry, I'm going really fast here, but there's also there's a 25% limitation on these uses in terms of income, very much like there is under the law that was passed in 2000, and I'm losing track, 9 here. Or is it 2010? Thank you. But the 25% limitation does not apply to the restaurants. It applies to everything else.
There's a correction on page 1, by the way.
Page 1, category 2, that should, the first bullet there should say minimum annual production of 10,000 gallons.
Oh, that's a question.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry about that.
Okay, so...
So, going on to page 5 now, I've already talked about kitchen facilities. You don't get them at the smaller wineries, you do at the larger. There are some objective local standard requirements in terms of setbacks, parking, you need to comply with public health and safety laws, building codes, that sort of thing. Tasting rooms are authorized in both types of wineries. And then last but not least, and this is important to a number of folks I know, the grandfather provision. So this legislation would clarify that uses and structures that were lawfully established before the effective date of this act can be continued. And that includes not just your structures, both all types of structures in conjunction with a winery, but also uses. So if your winery was regularly carrying out events or activities before the effective date of this law, you can continue that, and it's not subject to the 25% test. You can continue that level of events and activities under this grandfather clause. You can also, in terms of those uses and structures, you can alter, restore, or expand them, as is already provided under the nonconforming use statutes for counties under existing law. So this is intended to be a prospective law. It's not intended to come back and restrict what people are currently doing in terms of operating a winery. It's intended to allow whatever they're doing, if it's lawful, to continue. And then for new uses, new structures, those would fall under the provisions of this statute. So I've gone through this really quickly, trying to respect your objectives in getting through this, but I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Richard. Any questions for Mr. Whitman? And Senator Hass, and then Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Whitman.
And I will say thank you to Mr. Whitman, because he spent an inordinate amount of time helping with the drafting of this, by the way.
She's probably ready for a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Yes.
winery produced at least 200, the restaurant may be established if the winery produces 250,000. And is that if they're at 260,000 one year and then they go to 240,000 the next year? Can you explain how that works out?
Yes, Chair Dingfelder, Senator Haas, good question. Thank you for asking it. The way the language was purposely written, so the test is at the time you want to establish that restaurant in the preceding calendar year, did you produce at least 250,000 gallons? If you did, it doesn't matter if your production goes down in the subsequent year. It's a one-time test at the time you're establishing the restaurant. And that's in recognition of the fact that people are, if they're going to do that, they're investing a substantial sum of money to do that. So it's a one-time test.
Thanks.
Senator Olson?
Thank you, sir. Could you explain why you jumped from 150,000 gallons to 250,000 gallons?
Chair Dingfelder, Senator Olson, the jump, if you will, from 150 to 250 occurs only in connection with the authorization for a restaurant. So, again, the thinking, the policy thinking behind this, I believe, is that we want to allow restaurants, but only at our larger wineries in the state where you have a level of production, a level of sales going on, that connection between wine and food, you're getting enough volume there that it makes sense to establish a restaurant that isn't going to be the primary use because of the size of the winery. It's still going to be a subordinate incidental use once you get a winery that big. The policy concern here was having restaurants essentially overtake the winery in terms of who's driving the use here.
How many wineries existing now or in the near future will meet that criteria?
Chair Dingfelder, Senator Olson, my understanding is that there are, I believe, two wineries in the state that currently could qualify for this authorization. There are a number of other wineries that are below it now but could conceivably qualify it for it in the future, but two right now.
Any other questions? Mr. Whitman? Okay,
thank you.
We are in work session. We have a few people that I know would like to come up that were involved in this. I'm going to ask Dan Jarman. I don't know if AOC. Art, would you like to come up? Okay, why don't you get started, Dan?
Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee, I'm Dan Jarman representing the Oregon Wine Growers Association. First of all, I want to thank you, Senator Dingfelder, Senator Prezansky, Senator Thompson, Richard Whitman, and many others behind me for the countless hours put into this legislation. The Oregon Wine Growers Association supports moving this bill along with these Dash 14 amendments. I think this is the work that's been put into this has been very, very good. We're the first to say that there are some clarifications that probably need to be made that we can hopefully do in a conference committee with the House, but given the short timeline, we would support moving this bill to the Senate floor, and you have the commitment of the association to help pass it off the Senate floor and continue to work on this legislation. So thank you again for your work on this legislation.
Thank you, Art.
Chair Dingfelder and members of the committee, my name is Art Slack. I'm with the Association of Oregon Counties, and I just left at about 4:40, a meeting of the AOC Special Operating Committee that discussed this proposal at this point. I hope you can appreciate the fact that we just received, or at least the members of our operating committee just received these amendments late this afternoon at this point. And we appreciate all the work that everybody's done up to this. There's been countless hours at this point spent on this activity, and I am one of those that have been at most all the meetings that have taken place. But I am. It's unfortunate at this point that I have to convey to you that the Association of Oregon Counties, based on the recommendations of the Special Operations Committee, is not in support of 3280 with the Dash 14 amendments. There is a feeling that more work needs to be done to the proposal, as it is very technical in nature at this point, and there is a need for further clarification of several items at this point that based on our review. The counties, as you can appreciate, are very much in support of local control and believe that there should be opportunities when you have events and activities on farmland for counties to be able to review those and make sure that they are compatible with the surrounding area as well as meeting health and safety kinds of issues at this point. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. We are short on time, so I'm going to ask a new Thousand Friends, who is also involved, if you want to come up and put something on the record, that would be helpful, and appreciate all the time and effort all of you have spent and staff. I was going to say hours would not be appropriate. Maybe we should say weeks, or in dog years we can start talking about.
Chair Dankfelder, members of the committee, Steve McCoy with 1,000 Friends of Oregon. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify on this. And also thank you again, Senator Thompson, Senator Prasansky, Senator Dankfelder, for your hard work on this, and also everybody else in the room. This is a big, complex issue and a big, complex bill. It's coming out at the last minute. We feel like it has multiple, the A14s have multiple errors in them, whether they be cross-reference sort of errors or whether they be errors that are in the matter of policy. There have been lots of last-minute changes, and this is the sort of thing that I think when I was in law school that I would look at a law and say, how did this happen? And I think that this bill is that sort of bill, whether it's the A14s, the A12s, or the A10s. Our touchstones have been a 25% cap is unenforceable, that events should not be unlimited, and also that meal service should not be unlimited. And the A10s, the A12s, and the A14s all have all those three things in them. In our opinion, the A10s are the worst of the lot. The A14s are the next, and then the A12s of the three are the better. The A14s are a step backwards from the A12s. We have grave concerns with, for example, the grandfather, that it grandfathers things that are lawfully permitted but that are unlawfully operated. We feel like that's a policy choice that should not be made here. And then also just the fact that events are explicitly back in, for example. We would suggest that this can more work be done on this, and we would suggest that it be in the interim. Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, with that, we are in a work session.
Madam Chair, I've moved the adoption of the A14s into House Bill 3280.
Okay, Senator Brzezinski moves the adoption of the A14s into House Bill 3280. Any discussion? I will say that we are not at the perfect, and I think that we heard that there's some technical issues that still need to be worked on, and I think the chair and members of the committee are committed to that. But I do appreciate all the time and effort that's been put into this. I know it's been a long road to hoe, and there are multiple, as mentioned, other winery bills out there. We'll need to make sure that we're consistent in policy, and that's something that the chair is committed to continue working on. It's unfortunate this is our last committee meeting, but we will have some other opportunities here in the next couple weeks. Any objections to adopting the amendment? Okay, seeing none, the dash A14s are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3280 as amended by the A14s to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Prasansky moves House Bill 3280 as amended with the dash A14s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Okay.
This is new.
Don't hold back, Senator.
I won't. This is a new process to me, and I know that these folks on either side of me are a lot smarter than I am, but it just bothers me that we can't get a bill even close. It just, you know, I'm going to vote for it. I'm going to pass it through, but it just, I can't understand why we can't put this stuff down and make it easy for everyone and make it easy for the people that have to use it so they understand it and it works. I mean, there's a lot of smart people in this building, and the fact that we can't do this just befuddles me.
Well, thank you, Senator. I will just make a quick comment, which is land use is complicated, and there is often very complex issues around land use. I think we are getting closer. I'm hoping that the bright minds in this room will continue working together. This is a lot of progress that's been made in the past year and a half, and I think that we still have some work to do, and we're hopeful we'll be able to talk with our House partners and be able to achieve that.
I do have one question for Mr. Whitman. If this gets carried over to the House side and amended, are you going to be satisfied with the amendments, or are you going to work against those, and are we going to be playing ping pong?
I could probably answer for him, but I'll let Richard
Chair Dinkfelder, Senator Olson, I can't answer that in the hypothetical. We'll certainly participate in good faith in working as desired by the members if there is a conference committee to help the process, as we have, I'll point out, all through the work on all of these winery bills. We've put a lot of time into this, and it has not always been fun for us or other people involved. So I think there's a lot of good faith represented in this room in terms of working on these issues, and we're committed to continuing that.
Thank you very much for answering.
Senator Presonti, do you want to add anything?
I'm just saying clarification. Since this is a bill that's going back to the House, if they don't concur, then it will go to a conference committee, and the only way it comes back out to either side is that there's agreement within that conference committee. And so the people in this room and outside of this room that have been active and have interest in it, I expect and hope that they will join the committee members who were there to put together something that moves us in the right direction as policy for the state as it pertains to wineries and land use in the state of Oregon.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. Okay, with that, the clerk call the roll, please.
Senator Hatch?
Aye.
Senator Pazowski?
Aye.
Senator Thompson?
Aye.
Senator Olson?
Aye.
Senator Dinkfelder?
Aye. That the motion carries. And Senator Przonski, would you like to volunteer to carry this bill?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, with that, we're going to close the work session on House Bill 3280. We have one last work session to work on, so this will be quick, committee members. I'm going to open up a work session on House Bill 2130A, and Beth is going to tell us why this bill is back.
There is in front of you a -A12 amendment. The purpose of the amendment is to resolve a conflict between 2130 as it passed out of this committee and 2688. So both bills amended the same section of law differently. What the -A12 amendment would do is it incorporates both the -2130-A11 amendment that this committee adopted plus a conflict amendment.
Oh, you're going to make that, I think, present. Yeah.
All right. Madam Chair, I move that the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2130A.
Okay. Senator Przonski moves the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2130A. The motion is not debatable. So is there any objection to the motion? All right. Seeing none, the rules are suspended.
Madam Chair, I move that we reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2130A was sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended.
Senator Przonski moves to reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2130A was sent to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation. Is there any discussion? I think we've heard from Beth why this is needed. Okay, seeing none, is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries, and the measure is once again before the committee.
All right, so Madam Chair, at this point, it looks like we have a
-A12,
so I'm going to move the -A12s into House Bill 2130.
Okay, Senator Przonski moves the -A12s into House Bill 2130. Again, this is the purposes of clarification to resolve conflicts with another land use bill that is out there. So we want to make sure that we're not passing, as we had heard already, concern about conflicting legislation. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, any objections to adopting the -A12s? Seeing none, motion carries.
And Madam Chair, I now move the House Bill 2130A to the floor as amended by the -12 amendments with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Przonski moves House Bill 2130A as amended with the -A12s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Okay, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Senator Hatch?
Aye.
Senator
Kozlowski? Aye.
Senator Thompson?
Aye.
Senator Olson?
Aye.
Aye. That the motion carries, and I was previously assigned to carry the bill, so I will still carry the bill. And with that, the work session on House Bill 2130 is closed, and we are adjourned for the year.
What a year.
That was it.
That's right.
Yeah.